I'm George Faust.
I'm Karaski Melvin. And this is Inside Cajun Nation.
KLFY and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette present Inside Cajun Nation.
Welcome to Inside Cajun Nation. We'll get into the start of spring football practice a little later in the show. But first, baseball. Entering the week, the Cajuns begin a six-game homestand. It started Tuesday against Southern. To the Teague we go. Bottom fourth, Cajuns up 3-0. Duncan Pastore sends one to left. Jose Torres scores. Cajuns score the first 9 runs of the game. Bottom seventh, it's 10-7 Louisiana. Zach Storbakken knocks one to right. Connor Cuff scores. After giving up 6 to the Jaguars on the top of the seventh inning, Louisiana scores 7 in the bottom of the seventh. They win 17-7 in 7. Here's head coach Matt Deggs and a player who had an interesting day at the plate.
Baseball's a crazy game. It's just so unpredictable, yet I think that's why it's addicting. You got a guy I love to death, Clay Wargo. He's over here minding his own business, and in the span of about 30 minutes, he's got 3 RBIs without an at-bat.
In that one inning, when they scored all those runs, I couldn't believe it. They just started barreling the ball, and I was kind of worried. But, I mean, I knew we were going to come back. I didn't know we were going to put up all those runs in that next inning, but I knew we were going to respond.
McNeese was next up. It's their second matchup all time between the two schools. No score top of the third. Connor Higgs dives for the catch, and he gets it. Bottom of the eighth, tied at 1, 2 on. Higgs breaks the tie with a hit to left. Pastore would come across. Cajuns win 4-1. They scored 3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Now, Louisiana played their second Sun Belt Conference series of the season against ODU at the Teague. It's the first meeting in baseball for both of these two teams. Scoreless, top 5, a couple of Monarchs on. LP Longevin strikes out Bryce Jones, swinging in the inning. It was one of his 10 strikeouts and 4-plus innings of relief. Bottom of the inning, Cajuns up a run. Josh Alexander goes all the way to the wall. Caleb Stelly would score from third. Alexander would reach third. Louisiana wins 3-0. The Easter Bunny made an appearance on Saturday, and so did the Cajun offense. Bottom first with a man on. There's that man again, Pastore. We have liftoff. His second homer of the season. He makes it 2-0. 4-0 Louisiana bottom five. Pastore, 2 more runs with a hit. And then in the same inning, Jose Torres, he'll tack on 2 more. Cajuns score 7 times in the inning and win 13-1 in 7 innings. They look to sweep on Sunday. Top 4 scoreless. Jack Spites flares one to right. Luke Juhas dives, gets the ball, ends the inning. Bottom 8, Cajuns up 1-0. Jose Torres at second. John Taylor rips one to the wall. Torres comes from second all the way around to score. Taylor gets on third with a triple. Cajuns win 2-0. It's win 1,000 at the Teague, a fact not lost on Coach Deggs.
Wow, this place is so special to everyone and to everybody here, everybody in Cajun Nation. One of my best friends and mentors helped build this place and posted most of the wins in it. And so it's a special day. We gave that lineup card and game ball to Bab to hold because he's been a part of just about all of them. Thanks to Cajun Nation for coming out today the way they did at 11 o'clock in the morning. A little bit chilly weather. Now it's warmed up a little bit, but just proud of the way we competed and fought all weekend.
Now, like Cajun baseball, Cajun softball had its first home Sun Belt Conference series this week. After a midweek loss at Louisiana Tech, Louisiana looks to respond in the friendly confines of Lampson Park. Coach Jerry Glasgow's team hosting Coastal Carolina. Bottom third, 4-2. Alexa Langlier's up and out. It's her fourth of the season. Cajuns within one. Same inning with a runner on. Sophie Piscos. This one goes. It touches the top of the fence. It's a home run. Big fly number 5 for her. Cajuns lead 5-4. Bases loaded. Bottom of the sixth, tied at 5. Maya Davis. She would deliver a 2 RBI hit. Louisiana wins 7-5. Davis shares what she saw and what Jerry Glasgow, head coach, saw with Davis.
It was awesome. I was a little nervous
because I had just got out the at bat before, but I was just trying to get on top of the ball and hit it in a gap somewhere.
That's why she's All-American. Like, she's just an offensive spark plug, and she can hit, she can slap, she can bunt. She just clutch, you know, and that was huge, right? And she hit the ball hard, and hard enough to get the run in from second, so it was fantastic for her to get them RBIs for us.
The Easter Bunny also paid a visit to Lampson Park on Saturday. You know what else was there? Cajun offense. Louisiana would load the bases in the bottom of the first. Sam Rowe hits a shot to short. Maya Davis would score the first of five runs in the frame. Cajuns up 7-0, bottom four. Sam Rowe to the bleachers it goes. She went 2-for-3 with 3 RBI, her fourth home run of the season. Same inning, Denali Locker at the dish. She goes long. That's her first as a Cajun. Louisiana scores 7 in the inning and win 13-0-5. Here's Sam Rowe and the first and only Cajun pitcher used, Lexi Delbray.
I would say we just came out today and we hammered the ball like crazy. I was able to trust my defense and get outs, and they were able to get outs for me, and we hit the ball, so we exploded the score.
We just kept passing the bat like we should as an offense. And Coach Glasgow and Coach Shelley have been working on that a lot this year, and I feel like we really just trusted each other and worked together in that inning.
So Cajuns looking to get a sweep in softball. Top of the first, no score. Delaney Keith flies out to pitcher Sam Landry. Then Landry would replace starting pitcher Chloe Riaceto. She would get a ground out that would end the inning. Then bottom of the inning with Maya Davis at second. She would steal third. The throw would go awry. Davis would score the game's first run. 3-0 Louisiana bottom six. Riaceto at the dish. She connects. She was 1-for-2 on the day. Then top seven with Louisiana up 3-1. Riaceto back in the circle. She closes the door with a strikeout to get in the game, get the sweep. Louisiana wins 3-1. Here is Riaceto and Sam Landry about their unique day.
I've been kind of hitting on my own. I feel like that balances well with my pitching. And then this week they were like, we want you to hit in hitting groups, see how that goes. I just wanted to have fun and just swing like a pitch. I couldn't believe it. I was cheering at first base, so I was really excited.
How is that perspective from the outfield of like seeing a pitcher throw something that may be hit in your direction?
It's kind of frightening. I kind of feel for our outfielders a little bit more than I used to, but it's a little frightening because once it gets by you, there's nobody behind you. So you're like, you got to feel it. I was like, this is not going to get by me. I'm not going to do that to Chloe, but we're good. It all worked out.
Coming up on Inside Cajun Nation Football, starting its spring practices, we hear from head coach Michael Desjardins.
This portion of Cajun Nation is brought to you by Lafayette Coca-Cola Bottling.
Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Cajun football spring practices are underway. Louisiana finished last season in a bowl game for the sixth straight year. Now, as the team prepares for its season opener against Grambling State at the end of August, head coach Michael Desjardins hopes to raise the bar in 2024.
You know, the thing we talked about with our team is that, you know, our expectations for this team and our standards for this team need to be higher than ever. We've got 12 guys on offense who started games for us last year. We've got 13 guys on defense who started games for us last year. We've got 20 guys on offense and defense who've played 150 or more snaps of college football last year. You know, that for us is something that we've got to rely on this year.
Coming up next on Inside Cajun Nation, Sports Director George Faust's conversation with track and field head coach Tommy Badon.
Thanks for staying up and enjoying a little Cajun sports news with us. And we have the new UL head track coach. It's Tommy Badon with us inside Cajun Nation here. And coach, congratulations on the promotion, I guess, reduction of interim from your name. Tell me a little bit about the excitement level for you, because this is a job, as you were telling me, that you've always had kind of circled in the back of your mind here.
Yeah, it was way back there. You know? it was this exciting time. You know, I mean, I'm super excited about being able to take over this spot. You know, I've been a track coach for a long time, and I've been assistant here twice, and graduated from UL. You know, I have a degree here. I coached here in the 90s. I played football here. And so I've been a Cajun my whole life. And, you know, obviously I think there's a little bit in the back of a lot of coaches' minds that they'd always like to go back where they played or maybe where they fit in as a member of the community, and got mom and dad looking at Adam and the family and friends, and you know it's a pretty cool.
Yeah, and so since you kind of got back and kind of got into the realm of college coaching, I'm thinking back to last year. You guys had a pretty talented squad, did pretty well. Just kind of give me a rundown of how last year ended, and then what you guys have built on from that.
Well, the men got third indoors, so we're doing well. You know, the women we're built a little bit more for outdoor track. You know, I mean, people that don't know track that well, they indoor and outdoor track are a lot different, and so we're kind of built a little bit more for outdoor track on the women's side, but. You know, we've had a little run of success. The men were second indoor and third outdoor last year. We got, a better team for outdoors this year. We're kind of closing the gap a little bit on the conference, you know, top teams, and very exciting, you know, honestly, with the number of COVID seniors we have and some of the older athletes that took a chance on us back 5 years ago when we weren't so good. It's kind of cool to be able to see them reach the kind of level of success that we always kind of talk to them about. They didn't really have much to go on other than blind faith in what I was telling them. We have great facilities at UL. We got a great city to recruit to, got a good administration, and you know, we have a lot of things going for us, right? But when it's all said and done, they didn't have a lot of previous success, at least in my group, which was the sprints, hurdles, and relays, you know? Yeah. So I think that what we set out to do, the vision that we had 5 years ago, is starting to really reach the level where we kind of hope to be.
Yeah, and so you talk about the facilities, and it's very nice out there at the track and field complex. Is there something you would like to see maybe to upgrade it a little bit? There's always room for upgrades, right?
Yeah. Well, at some point we'll need a you know, tracks don't last forever in Louisiana with the heat and the humidity,
yeah, sure,
and everything,
sure.
The weather. So we'll need a new track at some point over the next four or 5 years. And very pleased with our, you know, we have a great weight coach and training staff. It's awesome. You know, so we've got some infrastructure in place, obviously, that a lot of schools aren't blessed to have.
And, right.
We have a 14,000 square foot weight room. We have an indoor football field that we can use on rainy days, on lightning days, and that we know we're not able to be outside. So there's a lot of things that if you look at some of the other programs around the state, and I have a lot of good friends coaching at those places, but they have limitations that we don't have, you know. And even though we're not the school an hour away, and you know, we're a mid-major school in the Sun Belt Conference that does have a lot of positive things to recruit to and a lot of really good things going on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next is are you able to kind of recruit the way you've wanted to? You said 5 years ago you kind of got had the vision. These guys that are now 5 years older have that vision, kind of executing what you guys are hoping for. Have you guys been able to kind of grab what you want to keep it going past those 5 years?
Yeah, I'm literally the last couple of weeks have had two coaches within the state say that they don't really recruit the state because we've signed just about every athlete in the state that's Division I level that LSU's not recruiting. I mean, I don't mind saying it, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So we need to be the next option, right? And we really feel good that we've done that. Our goal has always been recruit Louisiana, lock down Louisiana if we can, go over to Houston, lots of 6A, 5A schools there, lots of talent. Go up into the junior college in Kansas, South Plains in Texas, New Mexico, junior college, kind of solidify some relationships there. And then, you know, pick and choose a couple of international kids. And then we really haven't hit the portal except in the summer.
Yeah.
So if we lose a kid or something to grades or whatever, we go into the portal in the summer and we try to selectively replace,
you
know, individual
need.
People, right?
Yeah.
And we picked up the school record holder in the 400 meters through the portal. I picked up a really good male sprinter this past summer, you know. So, yeah, the portal's been good to us, you know. So we just don't have a whole bunch of people that we recruit off of the portal.
All right, Coach, don't go anywhere. We're gonna talk some more. We're gonna talk maybe a little bit about your schedule and how the I guess the spring season or you'll have to guide me through it.
Yes, sir.
The outdoor, I guess, is
you and the rest of them.
Is right. I understand, but guide me through it. Don't go away. We're coming back with Tommy Badon, the new UL head track coach. So don't go anywhere. We're back right after this on Inside Cajun Nation. Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. Thanks so much for sticking and staying. George Faust here, UL head track coach Tommy Badon there. That sound good to you?
It does, man. Can't lie.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I hear you. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. And, you know, I met you a long time ago when you were at Westminster Christian Academy in Opelousas, and you were the football coach. That's how I was introduced to you. I didn't know you were a track superstar.
Wow.
You know? How many years ago was that?
I got there in 2003, so I don't remember exactly when you came aboard.
I got here in sports.
It was early on. It was early on. Early on around there.
Yeah. Yep. 2002, I started here. And 2003, I started in sports.
Yeah, you weren't covering much in 2003. We were pretty bad. But 2004, we got good.
Yeah. Y'all had some quality
we
teams.
We did. We won 92 games while I was there. It was
very
fun.
Impressive.
It was fun.
Very impressive. Well, let's talk a little bit about your current team, the UL track, track and field team. What's the schedule look like? What happens now as the spring comes and you get ready for that?
So we're training right now for outdoor season. We start Saturday at McNeese. Then we actually have our home meet, the Louisiana Classics. It really is the Louisiana Classics. We have almost all the state schools coming.
Cool.
So it'll be a really neat, a really neat little meet. Then we go to LSU. For a big meet there. We always do really well there. Then we're going to take a week off. Then we're going to go to Alabama, to the Alabama Relays at the University of Alabama. Then we go to Northwestern for the Deion Johnson. And then the week after that, for the first time ever, we're going to go to Auburn. Leroy Burrell, the former world record holder in the 100 meters, he's the head coach at Auburn, and we're friends. So we're going to go to Auburn this year, and we're really excited about that. The following week, you know, ULM is hosting our conference meet May the 13th. So they're having a meet for teams to get an opportunity to go run on their track. Oh. So several of the conference teams will be going up there. That's the last week of April. 2 weeks later, we have the conference meet up there. And then 2 weeks after that, we have the regionals. The regionals are comprised of the top 48 people in each event in the eastern half of America.
Okay.
As you have to qualify for that. Yeah. That's in Lexington, Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky. And then out of that meet, the top 12 earn a trip to Eugene, Oregon, to Tracktown, USA, for the nationals.
Gotcha.
It's the absolute hardest sport to make it to the national competition of any sport. They do the percentage of athletes who play and who gets to go to the NCAA participation, and track and indoor track are the two hardest sports to make.
Very interesting how that all works. And when you talk about getting a chance to play or compete at different venues, does that help attract athletes, I guess is what I'm saying? Like if you say, hey, we're going to Auburn this year, we're going to LSU, which is an easy trip, but LSU's one of the premier track programs.
It's like any other sport. The cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
And so you want to be able to put your athletes in the best possible position for them to do their best. And to do that, you want them to be able to compete at the highest level. It's one of the selling points of track. You know, it's not football. So we're able to, on a weekly basis, we can go head up against the very best. So our 4x1 relay last year, every week, was going up against some of the best schools in the country. And we ended up going to regionals, make it to nationals. But I really think it's because every week we were going up against the teams that were winning nationals, right? So it wasn't no big deal. You know, for us. I mean, we're running against them cats every week. So I think that we've tried to do that. We've tried to expose our kids to the highest level of track, and that in turn has raised their level of competition. And so we have, for a mid-major program, a lot of my friends that coach at mid-majors, if they can get 4, 5, 6 kids to the regional meet, they've had a great season. I think Troy had 7 last year. Mm-hmm. We had 18. You know, we had 18 last year. We had 21 the year before. So we've had almost 40 kids in the last 2 years go to the regional meet. That's kind of like a standard, like, you know, how's your school, how's your program? Gotcha. You look at how many regional qualifiers you have, how many conference champions you have. That's kind of like, you know, so we had 12 indoor all-conference performers at the recently held conference championship. But we feel like we can have over 20 again this year at regionals. You know, we can have 3 or 4 relays and a number of individual, you know, competitors, jumpers and throwers. I mean, you know, we're very excited about our outdoor team.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I came out last summer, I guess, spring, watched you guys. And my question is this, you guys, you know, all those guys are fast, right? I mean, they got to be, right? Can you improve somebody's speed? If I run a 5.0 40, there's a way for me to get to 4.8?
George, okay, so there's certain
not people, you, but yes,
there are people. Certain people that have certain limitations.
I understand. I was using me as an example.
This is how we look at it, right? This is how we look at track. So if you run the Kentucky Derby, and I'm not saying that, I'm not equating my athletes to horses by any means.
Right, no, I understand what you mean. But you put it in somewhere.
It's an allegory. So if I want to run in the Kentucky Derby, I have to be a thoroughbred, and it's a higher quality of horse that gets to run in there. So I want to try to get my thoroughbred to be the best thoroughbred and to run as fast as that thoroughbred can run. Right. So if I'm coaching at the Division I level, it's the same thing. But if I'm coaching at a high school, or I'm coaching at a junior high or whatever, my level of athlete might be lower, but I want to still get the most out of them. So absolutely, yes, if you know what you're doing, you can help anybody get faster because there's so many different things that go into it other than just, you know, hey, let's line up next to each other and see who wins. It's really way more than that.
Yeah,
if it wouldn't be, then you would take all of the 5-star recruits every year in every event,
put them out there.
And they would always be they'd always win NCs, right? They're the best in high school, right? So if coaching and training and other things don't matter, then those would be always be the people in the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's just not the case. Yeah. Because track is a developmental sport. So a kid might have played mostly football in high school and just did track for fun, and then decides in college he's going to focus on track. A Trajan Jones, great example. Trajan was a great high school football player. For whatever reason, a little undersized or whatever, well, Trajan Jones ends up, he's number 2 all the time at UL in the 100.
Right.
Because he focused just on track. So he ran 10:48 in high school, but he ran 10:21 last year us.
Sure enough.
Right? And he ran 21:43 in high school, but he ran 20:76 last year for us in the 200. You know, so
it's
kind of a good example, right? You know, track wasn't his total main focus in high school. He was good in track, but when you go to college, all of a sudden, you get other people that are faster than you, that you're training with. You got a good coach, hopefully, that is helping you with the planning and the preparation and learning how to start, learning how to accelerate, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Interesting.
And staying healthy.
So
a lot of people get hurt.
Absolutely. You got to be available. Right. Availability.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
That's why they pay us the big bucks.
That's it. I understand. I understand. Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. And if we could cut about 0.4 seconds off of my 40 time, and maybe you never know, I could get under 5.
If I can get 0.4 off of you, man, I'd tell you what, they need to pay me way more.
Hey, look, you never know. I was an athlete at one point in my life, just not now.
I was too.
Coach, thanks for the time, man. You guys, thanks so much for sticking around and watching Inside Cajun Nation. For Coach Tommy Badon, George Faust here, have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, George.